Part 1. The Rivals. Chapter 1. Four Men Waiting. Summary. The ballot for the Republican Party's presidential nominee was to be decided on May 18, 1860. Four men were vying for that title. William Henry Seward was the likeliest choice. Being the governor of New York, Seward was so certain of his nomination that he had already proudly written a valedictory speech for that May day. Ohio Governor Salmon P. Chase was also a contender. Seward viewed Chase as his primary competitor in this race for the highest office. Seward troubled over his competitor due to Chase's extensive political experience in his role as governor and in the United States Senate. Edward Bates also had a long political career. He had served in the United States House of Representatives from Missouri and spent time in the Senate for that state as well. During his time as a hopeful nominee, Bates was Missouri's Attorney General. Though Seward was the favorite, any of the three were reasonable choices for the Republican Party. None thought the fourth man, Abraham Lincoln, was a true opponent. Lincoln was an Illinois lawyer who had served only one term in Congress more than 10 years earlier. Though he was well known by all as an excellent orator, he was not taken seriously by the other three men. Key takeaways. Lincoln was considered to be the underdog in the 1860 presidential election. Each of Lincoln's rivals was more politically seasoned and therefore more likely to win the nomination. Chapter 2. The Longing to Rise. Summary. Each of the four men had their share of ups and downs in his early life. William Henry Seward grew up in a comfortable, slave-owning family. Unlike most slave owners, the Sewards allowed the children to spend time with the slaves. They also gave the slaves' children access to education. This gave Seward an appreciation for the slaves as people rather than property. Seward graduated from Union College with honors and then joined the legal profession. He passed the bar in New York and joined a firm at the age of 23, at which time he also met Francis Miller. Salmon Portland Chase was also part of a distinguished family. Three generations of the Chase family lived in Cornish, New Hampshire, where Chase was born and raised. However, at the age of 7, Chase's father invested in a glass factory, which resulted in bankruptcy. Chase's father soon died. Salmon was sent to live with an uncle who was president of Cincinnati College. Ever the intellectual prodigy, Salmon enrolled as a freshman at age 13. At 15, Chase was admitted at Dartmouth. He graduated with honors by the time he was 19. Like Seward, Chase joined the legal profession, working as a counsel for financial institutions in Cincinnati. Meanwhile, he was married to Catherine Garness, who gave birth to a daughter also named Catherine. While his wife died in childbirth, Catherine, the daughter, passed only 5 years later. Chase's second wife was Liza Ann Smith. She gave birth to daughters Kate and Eliza, the second of whom died at birth. Chase's second wife died from tuberculosis not long after. Chase's third wife was Sarah Bell Ludlow. Like his two previous wives, Sarah died young, as did the second of the two daughters she begat. Chase then decided not to remarry as he served as a single father to his two surviving daughters, Kate and Nettie. Edward Bates was a Virginian but left home at a young age. He joined forces during the War of 1812 and 2 years later settled in Missouri. His brother, Frederick, had just been appointed Secretary of the Territory by Thomas Jefferson. Bates, with the help of his brother, practiced law in St. Louis. He and his colleague, Joshua Barton, created a practice that represented some of the most well-known, respected, and powerful men in the area. Lincoln's obstacles are well-known and documented. His experiences were opposite those of his rival for the 1860 election. Lincoln was born to a very poor family in Kentucky. His father could neither read nor write. Whereas his rivals were from large families, Lincoln's brother and sister died young, leaving him an only child. Little is known about Lincoln's mother, Nancy Hanks. It has been noted that she was intelligent. It was she who taught Lincoln to read, but she died when Lincoln was only 9 years old. Lincoln, therefore, was unable to have any sort of education because the schools in Kentucky required a tuition payment.